The Christian faith is a gift of God's grace. The Christian life is a gift of God's grace. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
Pastor Peter Bender talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And that means that our Lutheran piety is also a gift. All too often we see it as another work of the law, something that we must do. Instead, Christ meets us there with his word and spirit, and in our daily devotional life, he teaches us what it is to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
You can meet and hear Pastor Peter Bender making the case for Lutheran piety Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Sometimes the thing you're searching for your whole life, it's right there by your side all along.
You're right.
All you do is yell at each other. You're not friends.
No, we're family. Except maybe her.
That's an excerpt from the trailer for the new movie Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, a movie that is, well, as you heard there, perhaps about family. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Giese joins us to review that movie here in the first half hour of the program. Then Dr. David Coles from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The church remembers 9th century missionaries to the Slavs, Cyril and Methodius. One of the biggest contributions made by one of those brothers has to do with the written form of a language that comes down to us today. Cyrillic, we'll talk about that. Shane Morris, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, "Having Pets Instead of Kids Should Be Considered a Psychiatric Disorder." We're going to talk about millennials choosing pets over children. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us for Christ in the Old Testament, our ongoing series with him. We're still in Hosea doing chapters 11 through 14. You can join us over the next 2 hours with questions or comments or call in number 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Pastor Ted Giese joins us to review the movie Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
So there are going to be some spoilers. That's just going to be the way it is doing this movie review. With that said, you say that this movie is about family. How so?
Yeah, there's going to be some pretty big spoilers. As to that question, this movie is volume two, so it's building on stuff from the previous movie. And one of the things that struck me again, as I was thinking about it, is almost all of the characters in the film are adult characters primarily, but they come from very dysfunctional childhoods. So they have very broken, dysfunctional, sometimes abusive childhoods. And now here they are as adults, and they are wanting desperately to have family, a good family, a real family. And so a lot of the movie revolves around who is my family, who isn't my family, what makes somebody my family, how does a family operate? All of that kind of stuff is kind of underpinning and driving a lot of the stuff in the film.
So let's talk about the premise. These are the things you kind of have to jump on while it's still moving, movies like this. If you didn't see the first one, you might have a little difficulty figuring out who everybody is. But to give us a little preview of both the premise and the plot.
Yeah, this is a comic book movie, so it's very serialized. So in fact, it rewards you for remembering previous details from the prior movie. And or having just seen it. If you watch these back to back, it's going to work a lot better. So in this incarnation version of the movie now, like the story, the unfolding story in this one, you have this group of people that have gathered together, and they're mostly criminal element types that have now kind of become this thing called the Guardians of the Galaxy. In the last film, they saved the galaxy, the universe. So here they are. They're a family, kind of. They consider themselves family. And the movie starts off with them working to protect some batteries for these golden aliens called the Sovereign. But they're also kind of self-sabotaging characters. So this little character, Rocket Raccoon, steals the batteries that they were keeping. And it kind of gets everything rolling on this path. And they're kind of helped out of a jam by a mysterious character named Ego, who turns out to be the main character, Peter Quill's father. So in the very, very end of the previous film, there was this space pirate Yondu who said, you know, it's a good thing we didn't deliver him to his parents, like to his father, rather, because his father did kind of a deal, something like that. And then now Peter Quill, is played by Chris Pratt, is meeting his father. And a lot of the story revolves around that. And for anybody who wasn't connected to it, even just trying to explain it right now, it sounds kind of, I don't know. It's all very, it's outer space and it's explosions. It's like, it's a very strange film in a lot of ways. And his father as a character is a very strange character.
I want to talk a little bit about, I think the last time we talked about the first of these films, you said something, I think it was you talked about Chris Pratt, the guy who plays Star-Lord or Peter Quill, that this is kind of, he embodies this character, but he kind of makes it. And that's kind of tough when you have the kind of success he's had in terms of playing of this outlandish character to do it again. How does he do?
Yeah, he does great. He's a really good part of the movie. He's not the part that kind of steals the show, though. Certainly in the first movie, he was that, along with like the characters of Rocket Raccoon and Groot, the talking tree, who only says, "I am Groot," played by Vin Diesel. In this movie, it's baby Groot. He's been chopped down to size and now he's a sproutling, growing back up again. But Chris Pratt does a great job in the movie. Like, as far as this kind of thing goes, they're all doing a very good job with quite a ridiculous story that has these underpinnings of family dynamics. The real standout, probably, though, in the whole film is a character who wasn't a very big character in the previous film, this character of Yondu, and that character is played by Michael Rooker. And some people might know him from The Walking Dead. I don't really know The Walking Dead, but I hear he was quite a character. That actor played quite a character on that show. But here he was kind of a small character in the first film and a major character in this film.
Is he a villain in this? He was quasi-villain in the first one.
This franchise is all about misfit anti-heroes, like people who desperately need to be redeemed. And in the course of this film, he goes through a story arc. This Yondu goes through a story arc. He's a space pirate. He goes through a story arc of redemption. He is redeemed. He becomes a hero. He becomes part of the Guardians of the Galaxy. That's kind of really one of the best parts of the film in a lot of ways, or at least the most satisfying part of the film for me was his character arc and how he interacted with these other characters and what part he plays in the movie itself.
You had mentioned Groot, who, if I recall, sacrifices or apparently sacrifices himself to save everybody near the end of the last film. And then if you watch past past the credits of the last movie, you realize that, or even at the end of the movie, he's not actually dead. He just has to grow to his massive size and strength again. Is there that kind of self-sacrifice in this one?
Yes, there is. And like, have you seen it yet?
The volume 2?
Yeah.
I have not.
You have not. Okay, there is. Do you want me to talk about it? Like, everybody who's vaguely interested.
Well, again, okay, you know, so just warning to the audience that this is probably the spoiler of spoilers for the film. And I don't mind having films spoiled because I seldom remember what we talked about by the time I get around to watching them. So,
all right, well, then you're in luck. So the moment, like, it all revolves around Peter Quill and who his father is. So he gets introduced to this character called Ego, and Ego is not just a person. He discovers later that Ego is actually a planet. He is Ego, the living planet, played by Kurt Russell. So there's all of this stuff about him meeting his biological father, which means that some strange entity, long-living strange entity that is a planet, had relations with an Earth lady who is Peter Quill's mom. And he discovers that this planet is his father, which is a very strange concept. But in the course of the unfolding story, what you discover is that Ego, the living planet, had contracted Yondu, the space pilot, or a space pirate rather, to abduct Peter Quill off of Earth and bring him back to Ego, the planet. But Yondu doesn't do it. Instead, Yondu keeps him as a kid and says that it's because he's small and he can thieve things. So he is actually raised by these pirates. Like, he's a young boy, and that's the part of the first film, is after his mother died of cancer, he was abducted by these space pirates. Yondu is the captain of the space pirates. He's raised by these space pirates, and he doesn't know who his real dad is. Yondu does. So when he finally does meet him, there's this moment where at the apex of the film, it turns out, you know, like, his dad, this Ego, the living planet, is actually a jerk, living up to his name. He's terrible. He's the villain of the film. And it's Yondu who then rescues Peter and says, you know, this line that's really, really quite a line. He says, you know, Ego may have been your father, but he wasn't your real dad. Something to the effect of that. So then he has to come to terms with the fact that actually Yondu was his dad, his actual, like, he was the one who raised him, and that this strange biological connection he has to this planet is not the genuine thing for him. So, and in the process of that, this is like the last thing that Yondu says to Peter as he saves Peter's life. So he totally sacrifices himself and dies, literally. I'm pretty sure it's not going to, I don't think it's going to be like Spock or something from The Wrath of Khan or whatever. And it's not going to be like Groot. He's not going to grow back later. He's gone. And he sacrificed himself for his son. So he, quote unquote, so he realizes that Peter is really his son. And that this is kind of like the satisfying moment of the film in a way.
A couple more things on this. Having only seen the first one, the thing that impressed me about Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm a complete comic book novice, never even encountered the characters before I watched the film, but they were immediately accessible in terms of just watching the film. But also, the first one struck, in my mind, what so many of these comic book movies failed to do. It struck a perfect balance between having that kind of action of a comic book and actually being funny. I mean, genuinely funny at times. Does Volume 2 live up to that?
I don't know. It is, like, yes, there's a lot of funny moments. I think that they've kind of gone further in the crass direction of things. There's certainly more poop jokes. There's like more scatological humor in it, literally. You know, I think that it's going to appeal to a certain demographic, like really, you know, young boys, but, you know, like 11, 12, you know, 9-year-old boys. I don't think that everybody enjoys that, but I mean, like, it is an enjoyable movie while you're watching it. I mentioned in my review that it's kind of like a roller coaster. The second time on is invariably never as exciting as the first time. Because the first time was just really exciting and fresh, like you were saying. Like, you didn't exactly know the characters super well. You didn't know where it was all coming from or where it was going, and it was kind of exciting. This one is not quite as exciting, so it's not quite as good as the first one for me. You know, I'm sure other people are going to love it just as much as the first one.
And then you say that this film is fitting for a world where more and more children are born out of wedlock, broken homes, blended families, foster care, single parent. Explain that with a few minutes.
Yeah, this is the thing, like we were talking about, like just like there, here are these people trying to figure out what family is about. And they want a family they can rely on, one they can trust, one that they can, that they don't feel betrayed by. And like, not in every case, but in a lot of cases, when there's children born out of wedlock, when there's broken homes and blended families and foster care and single parents and things like that, there's a brokenness to all of that. And I think that these characters probably will resonate with folks, you know, because they'll see a little bit of themselves in it. Like now there are some characters like Nebula, the sister of Gamora, and these are two sisters in the movie, and they have a really bad, like abusive childhood, and they're working on that end of it. And then there's people who just didn't, like their mom died when they were young and they didn't know their dad, and they meet their biological father. This is Peter Quill, his character. And then they find out that their father's not who they had idolized him to be. So there's a lot of these things that I think that, like, there's a lot of people in the audience that will probably see the little bits and pieces of themselves in some of these characters. And like that goes to what you were talking about in terms of accessibility. So I guess for us and for people who are interested in caring about thinking about this, it boils down to some kind of essential questions. Is your family through blood? Or is your family based on what you say your family is and by feelings? And then if you take a step way back and you think about it in terms of being a Christian, you know, the idea of being adopted into a family, becoming a brother or a sister in Christ within a family, like a congregation, within the church, within, you know, God's family, you know, like where do you find your real identity as an individual? You know, like Christians would say that you find it in your baptism. You find it in the fact that now God the Father is your father and Jesus is your brother. And now you are part of this family. It's not a biological family. You know, so I think that this is kind of some things that you could think about if you want to think about things when you watch a movie like this, because a lot of people are going to see it and it's just going to be a lot of explosions and you know, poop jokes actually at different points. But if you want to get underneath all of it and think about it, this is the kind of thing you could think about.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. And you'll find his review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Dr. David Coles joins us on the other side of the break. The church is remembering on this day 9th century missionaries to the Slavs, Cyril and Methodius. They sit right in the middle of the medieval time, and they come from the east. They encounter the Western church as well. We'll talk about all of that right after this.
Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
Christ Academy has been the most formative experience as I study to be a pastor. Hi, I'm Ian Kinney. I attended Christ Academy as a student, and now I work there as a proctor. You'll learn theology from seminary professors, have fellowship with other young men, hear God's word, and receive the sacrament in beautiful Kramer Chapel. Christ Academy, June 18th through July the 1st at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you're a high school man, visit ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy. ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, "A Changeless Christ for a Changing World." While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs, a a changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.